Good morning. Great to see everyone here this morning. Great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And each of us will be blessed by being here. It's just kind of good to be here, isn't it? Great to be here. Can you believe next Sunday is Palm Sunday? Wow. Doesn't it go flying by? Daniel, have some words of wisdom for us.
Got some words, I just don't know how wise they are. Just bring your attention to the announcements in the back, which is basically outlining over the next couple weeks and a little bit into April some dates and some times for some things. Palm Sunday, as Ian mentioned, Monday, Thursday, and April 5th, the service is at 7. Good Friday, and that's April 6th, and service is at 10 a.m. Easter Sunday, April 8th. Service at 10. The official board meeting is in April, and that's on the 24th. And the beef supper on Saturday, the 28th. And after the beef supper, Diane Page gave this to me. This is a hall fundraiser, and this is an a cappella group called Hoja. And they will be performing on the 28th, and that's at 7:30. And I'll post this, and this is to raise money for the hall. So I'll post this, or somebody will post it out in the foyer. Inside most of the bulletins is the library news, and these list of new books and a brief synopsis of each of the books. Thanks for to the library team for putting that all together for us. Much appreciated. Those of you that were able to attend the Cremona Neighborhood Fair that went on at the school last week, that was an extremely successful evening. There was approximately, I think there was 25, 26 tables that were set up. Thanks to everybody who was able to go there. Vicki was particularly proud of the white gown picture that's on the picture in the foyer out there. When I told her about that, she just went, "Oh, you got to be kidding." But it's there. It also helped me through parent-teacher interviews. I didn't have to see anybody. They were all at the fair, so that's good. I believe those are the announcements. I do think we are going to do March birthdays. I'll let Ian do that, but just to get you ready, so dig deep into your pockets. Are there any other announcements? Thank you.
Next time. Just a very slight delay because Ian forgot that he was doing birthdays. Anyone? It gives you time to prepare. If you have had a birthday during the month of March or prior to that, if you missed your opportunity is coming shortly when we find the cake. Ah, it's here. I found the cake. I'm just looking for the gifts now. Whilst the gifts are arriving, did you see Claire's picture on the front of the courier? Whoa, well done, Claire. Wasn't that great? And Reagan, of course, Reagan Reed, she was there as well. And it's great to see our talented children on the front of our widely read newspaper. Hey, give me a minute. Okay, let's celebrate March birthdays, or prior to that if you missed your opportunity.
Your birthday? Come back on it's your birthday. Whoa, this is heavy. Sweeter as the earth go by.
Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. Sweeter as the years go by. love is even sweeter as the years go by.
We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in St. John's Gospel, "Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. My Father will honour the one who serves me." It's great to have the worship team up here with us, and now invite them to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Good morning. Oh, turn that down, Grant. If you'd like to stand and join us, we're going to start out by singing Come Just As You Are. Continue with an oldie but a goodie, Victory in Jesus.
I'm
prepare our hearts for worship this morning by singing, "You Are My Hiding Place."
Like me on that third chorus, did it kind of sound like we were singing something else? Well, that was great. Thanks to the worship team. We appreciate your taking us into our worship with the approach choruses. Shall we bow our heads and join together in prayer? Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, because you have given to us this great privilege, this opportunity of coming together in your house on this your day, in this wonderful fellowship, in this time of worship and praise. And so, Holy Father, as we come together to worship you this day, we pray that you will touch every life, touch every home represented here. We ask you, Father, that you will open our hearts and open our minds, that you will speak to each and every one of us. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you will accept the praise, the worship, the glory, and the honour that we bring to you, to our Son and our Lord, your Son and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose precious name. And we come, Father, in Jesus' name, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel, after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Our responsive reading is next from Psalm 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word?
I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments.
I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees.
With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth.
I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in your
I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
And now we're happy to hand over once again to the worship team, who will lead us with their special music. Thank you.
So our special music this morning is the tune of Danny Boy, which everybody knows. The words are thanks to Google. I don't know, when we were practicing this morning, I wasn't looking at the page when we were practicing, and I started singing Danny Boy, so... Never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Thanks to our worship team and to our talented musician who played his instrument over here. Sounded great. Thank you so much. That was excellent. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you richly bless our lives, that you bring us to this place and you fill us with such joy. We come to you now, Lord, with grateful hearts. We bring our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. And we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Big thank you to our ushers in training here for the fine job that they just did. If the children would like to come and join me, please. Talking about this morning is looking for Jesus. When we do our gospel reading later on, there were some men came and they were looking for Jesus. And so that's what we are going to be doing right now. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a picture on the screen. Now the adults, lots of the adults have already seen this, and some of you guys might have seen it. But I want you to just have a quick look at this picture. Now remember, we're looking for Jesus. Tell me if you see Jesus anywhere. Can we just cut the picture off? What does it look like?
A mask.
A mask?
I can't see a head.
A head?
It looks like a big... Oh, I see it.
Like a big what?
I see like a big...
big brain.
Yep.
Good one. That's got a big brain, doesn't he? I've got some time.
I see it.
What do you think it is? Okay, I'm going to take the picture off now. Now then, we are searching for Jesus. Some men came looking for Jesus. And you know the Bible tells us anybody who looks for Jesus will find him. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at that picture again, that big brain, that mask, whatever it was, and we're going to see if we can find Jesus in there. So can you just pop that on again? I'm going to show you now. You see those four dots in the middle?
Yeah.
Those four dots there. Well, very shortly, can you take it off again, please? We're going to put this on again, and when this comes on again, we're going to put the lights out, okay? And those four dots that I showed you, and this is everybody, you've got to stare at those four dots. Just stare at them. Don't blink. Don't move your head. Just stare at those four dots. You got that?
I'm really good at staring.
Good. Anybody else good at staring? All the people that are on here. When the picture comes on, it's going to be on for 20 seconds. And you stare at those four dots. When the picture goes off, close your eyes tight shut and lean your head back. And most of our subjects are vertigo, but not this. And my father would appear. Okay. Do you get the idea? Everybody do it. Stare at those four dots and just stare at them until the picture goes off. Now the lights are going out, picture's going on, start staring.
And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 16, "We Praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer."
Bless.
bless thy holy name, glad praises we sing. We worship thee, God of our fathers, we bless thee. Through life's storm and tempest, our guide hast thou been. When perils o'ertake us, escape thou wilt make us. And with thy help, O Lord, our battles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer to thee, great Jehovah, glad anthems we raise. This song our will guide us, our God is beside us. To thee, our great Redeemer, forever be praised.
We come to our time of prayer. Thinking about our theme of looking for Jesus, it's amazing how many people who are looking for Jesus, and they never come right up to you and say, I'm looking for Jesus. It happens without us knowing about it. And this throws a great responsibility on we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are his representatives here on earth. And people are looking at us without us realizing it, and they're looking for Jesus. And you think, wow. And when we think of all of our friends, think of our sick friends. They're looking for Jesus to come and touch their lives and bring some healing to them, whether they are sick in body, in mind, or in spirit. We meet people during the course of the week who are facing life and all of its turmoils and problems and all kinds of things. And they're looking for help. They're looking for a bit of peace in life. The peace which passeth all understanding, which the Lord Jesus can give to them. And sometimes we have people who are looking for Jesus without even realizing that they are looking for Jesus. I want you to keep all this in mind as we go into our time of prayer. Let us bow our heads. Let us join together. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Father, as the heavens declare your glory and the firmament shows your handiwork, so enter our lives that we may be channels through which the expressions of your wonder and your grace are made known to people. Father, as we are rapidly approaching the wonderful season of spring, we pause to thank you for the winter season, that mysterious time when you work your wonders in nature. You are busy working, Lord, to create new life that bursts around us in due season. And we thank you, Father, for the springtime, which we really do believe is just round the corner. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness seen in the movement of the sun in the heavens as it moves into its place for the appropriate season. We thank you, Father, for the nourishment you provide for your earth, that all of your creation may bring forth new life. And we thank you that in the springtime we get to see new life, and we can see resurrection all around us. And we are again reminded of the resurrection joy and the hope that we have in Christ our Lord and our Saviour. So, Father, as we begin to see all around us the evidence of your presence and your provision for us, may we be conscious of just how much you do for us, Lord. How much you give to us. And we pray, Lord, that we may be generous as we give of ourselves to you and to all around us. We thank you, Father, for the precious gift of health and strength. And we confess, Lord, that we so very often take it for granted until it fails. Lord, we ask you to bless our friends who at this time suffer in body, in mind, or in spirit. Bless them, Father, with your glorious healing presence. And we pause now, Father, and in silence we think of them and we pray for them. Father, as we gather here for this time of worship and fellowship, we realize that we can never take for granted our church home and our church family, because as soon as we enter this sacred place, your love surrounds us and fills us with the joy of your Spirit. And we thank you, Father. We pray for our missing friends this morning, Lord, especially those who must face a week ahead without the spiritual recharge and uplift of this time of worship and praise. Wherever they may be, Lord, we pray that they too may be still, and that they may know that you are God, that they may know that you are with them, and that you bless them. Be with each of us, Father, in the week ahead. Grant us and our families your guidance and your protection. And in all of our prayers, Lord, we pray with our Saviour, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, we ask that you will grant us the wisdom to know thy will and the grace to accept it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we listen now to the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is from John 12, 20 to 33. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And the second reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, 5 to 10. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Thanks to Howard for all his readings from the scriptures. And now we stand and we sing to God's glory the hymn number 29, Glorify Thy Name. Glorify Thy Name. Like me, when we sing hymns like that, don't you wish you could sing better so you could get up to those big high notes and glorify thy name? Sounds great. That's why I always appreciate having support up here to do the singing. Thank you. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Do you hear? I'm not praying alone. So in our gospel reading today, we read that some Greeks in Jerusalem at this time were there to worship, and they came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Now Philip was born in Bethsaida, and Bethsaida up here, and Jerusalem is down here, where all of this action is taking place. You see, that's what the pen's for. I was asked the question, what's the pen for? There you go, now you know. So anyway, Philip was from Bethsaida. Andrew was also from Bethsaida. And Bethsaida had a Greek-speaking community. So maybe it's not surprising that these Greeks sought out Philip. Philip is a Greek name, to present their request. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Then we are told that Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew, another Greek name. And then they went and told Jesus. Now this all took place in Holy Week, the time between Palm Sunday, which we celebrate next Sunday, and Good Friday, the crucifixion. So that lets you know when this is happening, when this is taking place, so you can get it into context. So now you've got the incident and you've got the context. So the question is asked, so we would like to see Jesus. And the response to this question seems confusing and strange, because Jesus' answer to this request, sir, we would like to see Jesus, is, or was, the time has come. That's how he answered it. The time has come. A man had been driving all night, and by morning, he was still a long way from where he wanted to get to, long way from his destination. So he decided that at the next city that he came to, he was going to pull over, he was going to find a nice quiet spot and grab a couple of hours sleep. So as luck would have it, his quiet spot turned out to be one of the city's major jogging routes. So no sooner had he settled down in his car for his snooze than there came a knocking on the car window. He looked out, and there was the jogger. You know how they are. They never stop. He's standing by the car window, jogging on the spot. So the man rolled down the window. Yes, excuse me, sir, do you have the time? So he checked the dashboard clock, and he said, it's 8:15 a.m. The jogger said thanks and left. Settled down again. And just as he's dropping off, there's another knock on the car window. Excuse me, sir, do you have the time? Yes, he said, it's 8:25 a.m. So, rolled up the window, man went on his way, and the man in the car looked around and he could see there were joggers all over the place. So he says, this is not going to stop. This is going to keep on happening. So he took a pen and paper, and he wrote on the paper, I do not know what time it is. And he stuck it on the car window. Not long after, and there he stands, and he says, excuse me, sir, it's 8:45. It is time, said Jesus. An unusual answer to the request, we want to see Jesus. It is time. That was Jesus' answer to the request, we want to see Jesus. The time has come. Now, there's been quite a few occasions prior to this when Jesus has told people, it's not yet time. The hour has not yet come. But this is the first time that he is recorded as saying, it is time. Now is the time. We would like to see Jesus was the question, and Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now why should the request from the Greeks, we would like to see Jesus, why would it bring this response from Jesus? Why would it do that? Seems strange. We don't know. Maybe Jesus was looking for some sign from God his Father to trigger off what is to happen next. Was he waiting for God to give him a nudge to tell him? Well, we don't know the answer. But what Jesus said next would send shivers down the spines of his followers, of his disciples. But before we get to that, let's talk about Betty Crocker. You all know Betty Crocker, don't you, ladies? Betty Crocker. Years ago, just after the name Betty Crocker became established for cake mixers, the company came up with a product which only needed water. Just add water. It's all you needed to do. If you did that, you would get a perfect, delicious cake. And no one bought it. It flopped. And the company couldn't understand it. It was so simple. Just add water. What could be easier than that? And that turned out to be the problem. because they commissioned a study who looked at this, and it revealed that people weren't buying this cake mix because it was too easy. They did not want to be totally excluded from the work of preparing the cake. They wanted to feel that they were making some worthwhile contribution to this beautiful cake that they were producing. So Betty Crocker changed the formula and required the customer to add something. In addition to water, maybe an egg or a drop of oil. And immediately, this new cake mix was a huge success. Everybody bought it, everybody loved it. Still do, I believe. Unfortunately, many people and churches make the same mistake when it comes to packaging Jesus to present Jesus to the world. They try to make discipleship sound easy, as easy as possible, because they are afraid that if it sounds too difficult, it'll drive people away. So they take out all of the bits that people might find difficult to swallow. They try to open the church doors wider. And when they do that, what usually happens is more of the faithful rush out rather than other people rushing in. Jesus did not package himself in this way. He never presented the Christian life as being easy. What he did talk about was how richly blessed and how happy and peaceful would be those people who followed him. But he never ever said that it would be easy. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus answered the request, "We would like to see Jesus," by telling us, yeah, how we can indeed see Jesus. But first, he describes his own fate by saying that the hour has come. It is time for him to be glorified. Yeah, that sounds great. His followers must have listened to that and thought, now it's coming. This sounds good. He's going to be glorified. But when Jesus uses the word glorified, it's not as most people understand that word. When Jesus says glorified, what he really means is crucified. Crucified. Then he compares himself, he explains it a bit further by comparing himself to a grain of wheat. He says if a grain of wheat doesn't die and lie buried in the earth, it can't yield anything. It remains alone, just a single grain of wheat. And he went on to say, so it is with Jesus. If he's preserved, if he's safe, if he's secure, he will remain as just a single individual. But if he is crucified, if he is dead and buried, then like the grain of wheat, he will rise and he will bear much fruit, drawing all people to himself. Jesus must die if he is to bring to the world his gift of eternal life. And then Jesus turns it all around and he applies this same message to all of us. He says that we too must die if we want to live. He says this is no easy pre-packaged cake mix religion. If you love your life, he says, you will lose it. If you give it up in this world, you will be given eternal life. He literally says we have to be prepared to lose our life if we want to gain it. And this is the point that many people get to, where they are quite happy to back away and say, no thanks, it's too expensive. It demands too much, this Christian way of life. I like my life as it is. I do not want to lose it. I'd rather believe in something that is easier, less demanding. And so Jesus does not in any way water it down. This is the reality of discipleship. But wait a moment. When you pause and think about it, all of us are fully used to the idea of giving something up, of dying to something in our lives in order that we might live. We do it all the time. We are used to the idea of sacrificing ourselves in order to gain. The people who are flocking to the gyms and to the health clubs to put themselves through all of these punishing workouts, they are making a sacrifice. They are doing it willingly, and they are doing it to lose their old bodies to gain new ones. In the same way, many people have struggled and do struggle and suffer to lose their addictions to drugs or to alcohol or to nicotine. And they do it. They make a sacrifice in order to gain their health, to get something back. They fight and they struggle, knowing that in the end, the result is well worthwhile. Thankfully, we may never have to struggle to overcome addictions. But many of us are parents. And what is parenthood but a whole succession of sacrifices? You sacrifice all of your privacy. And at times you sacrifice a major slice of your sanity. You sacrifice the neat, orderly environment in which you have become accustomed to living, where things used to stay exactly as you left them, and in place we get chaos. You make huge financial sacrifices. And in between your kids and the taxman, you're lucky to have a dollar left in your pocket. This is right. But you do it all for the sake of something that money cannot buy. You do all of this because of love. And in these and in many other ways, we are perfectly used to the idea of losing one thing in order to gain something which is of much more value to us. So if we are so willing to sacrifice and even suffer for things that matter to us in our worldly lives, why shouldn't we do even more for the sake of our spiritual salvation? This life now, here and now, is so brief. It is so temporary. But what comes next is eternal. It is forever. So Jesus says, if you love your life in this world, you will lose it. If you love your life too much in this world, you will lose. But just as you do make sacrifices in this world for something better, if you sacrifice your life and your desires in this world for Christ, Jesus says, you will be given eternal life. You will be given life eternal. And so many people throughout the ages have joined with those Greeks in saying, we would like to see Jesus. And in response, Jesus says, look at the cross. Look at the cross. And in that scripture in verse 32, he says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. It is by the cross that the prince of this world will be driven out. Driven out of this world, driven out of your life. It is Satan who prevents anyone from seeing Jesus. It is the watered-down cake-mix religions which encourage Satan and people in their thinking that the Christian life should be easy. The word of the Lord says differently. Jesus says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. The Greeks came requesting, we would like to see Jesus. Wouldn't that be a good way to start off every day in our little time of prayer? Lord, we would like to see Jesus. But what we've got to remember is that what many people see of Jesus is what they see of you as you live your life every day. This is our responsibility as His presence here on earth. People who are looking for Jesus can indeed find Jesus in you. If you are living your life for Jesus, Jesus' light, His love, will shine from your life. And you never know. We never know how many people who are out there who we meet in our daily lives might surprise us. People who might be searching for Jesus. We would like to see Jesus, yes. And we would like to become a true reflection of His glory. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. And so we close our service this morning with our hymns. As the team comes back up here to join me, we prepare to stand and sing to God's glory the hymn 383, Open Our Eyes, Lord. That's with no music, isn't it? Let's try.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him. And say that we love Him.
To be God's people.
Jesus' name, grant this.
grace. Proclaim God's mercy through His Son. Be His love to everyone.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.